Please be seated. Parables are full of trap doors into another world, another vantage point, another focus, another insight to what we think we already know. It is an above-ground world and a honeycomb of underground tunnels. And there are many entrances. Some we find, and some find us. Our parable this morning paints a vivid picture of two opposing characters. One is a figure for godlike action. But which one? A sampling of titles for the parable shows that there is no scholarly or historic consensus on which character is the focus of the story. For many, this is the parable of the unjust judge. For others, the focus is on the persistent widow. Others keep both characters in view and balance and call it the parable of the widow and the judge. So, which is it? Is it about how you can't keep a good woman down, or is it about persistence in prayer? Is it a comedic parable meant to make us laugh at the ludicrous picture of a powerful judge cowering before a helpless old widow? Or is it a deadly serious portrait of a tenacious woman winning one small victory for justice in the face of shameless systems of rampant injustice? What were the hearers of this parable supposed to hear? What is a disciple of Jesus supposed to take from it? What are we to do? How is it to transform us? A parable is a pearl of wisdom set in a particular situation for teaching and pastoring. We have to remove the jewel from the situation in order to get to the heart of the real message proposed by the parable. And when we do this, it often shocks us into an experience of who we are and what motivates our conduct. And if we look at the parable closely, we notice that the outraged widow is not presented as virtuous or having a just cause. The judge is obviously not impartial or objective. We ask ourselves, how can the kingdom of God be similar to anything in this rather scandalous situation? If the judge was a professional crook, it would not be so bad. But he is supposed to be a decent man who does justice for the people, helping those who need help, the destitute, the widows, and the marginalized. The fact is, he is a wretched man, but yet the widow keeps knocking. So, to help us, let us translate this story using somewhat of a contemporary scenario. Let us say that there is a judge who is supposed to decide a difficult insurance case. The plaintiff, a widow who is destitute, sends him 2 or 3 letters a day, plus telegrams, makes innumerable phone calls, endless emails, texts, Twitter posts, and has friends calling daily to recommend her cause and demand justice. And when the judge tries to leave his house or place of work, she accosts him. Regularly, she sends him a box of chocolates with the message, "I'm waiting." Finally, the judge cannot stand her constant pestering anymore, and without considering the merits of the case, the judge decides to give her all that she wants. Now, having concluded the parable, Jesus walks off down the street with his disciples. So, with whom can we and the hearers identify with in this parable? Nobody wants to see themselves as the unjust judge, treating fellow human beings horribly and unjustly. Yet also, nobody wants to be the destitute widow, someone who pesters and pesters until she gets her way. So with whom do we identify with? That is the crux of the challenge. I believe this parable is a mirror into which we are invited to look at ourselves. In the past, the parable has often been interpreted with God as the judge and us as the widow. By pestering God, we are to believe that God will give us what we want. Yet anyone who has prayed for someone to get well, a football game to be won, a marriage to not be broken, knows that our prayerful relationship with God does not work that way. So this leads to the obvious. Is there another meaning? Bear with me as we interpret it anew. What if we are the unjust judge, and the widow represents the kingdom of God? If we do that, here is what we have. Grace is constantly banging on our door, morning, noon, and night, pleading, "Do me justice." The one who searches us out wakes us up, calls us to justice, to respond to the poor's right, is God, the widow, the poor who search us out. And there is hope here. That hope is that God does not lose heart. Beginning at creation, God continually comes up with creative and imaginative ways to respond to our self-destructive nature, our refusals, our ignorance, our selfishness, stubbornness, and sin. God comes after us and never stops, just like the widow, until justice comes, until we know who we are, whose we are, who God is, who our neighbor is, until we begin finally to do unto each other what we have been called to do. It's wonderful news that God is after us. Take note of the feelings that hinder your relationships, your efforts to forgive and not to judge. Where are they coming from? These are the things that the divine widow has in mind when she pleads, "Do me justice." In other words, be compassionate as your heavenly Father is compassionate. The divine widow keeps pounding on the door of our hearts day after day. And like the unjust judge, we try to put her off. If modern forms of communication can be overwhelming, wait until we fully, fully realize the many ways God comes up with. God approaches us all day long, meeting us morning, noon, and night through people, events, our own thoughts, feelings, memories, and reactions. We accept the kingdom finally. Not because we are just or deserve it, but because at some point, like the unjust judge, we cannot stand the pestering of grace anymore. And we finally give in, saying, "Okay, take my life. I am in your hands." In the words of the prophet Micah, only three things are necessary: to do justice, to love tenderly, and to walk humbly with our God among the poor, the widow, and the earth. God does not lose heart either. We are bound to God by the waters of baptism, by friendship of the Spirit, by the blood of Jesus, the Son of Man, and the voice and cry of the poor. And we finally respond, "Take my life. I am in your hands."